Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, for the last four messages, we've been dealing with the ways or the devices that Satan uses to try and make us stumble. Now, this is no small topic, so we will be continuing on this very subject for the whole month of August as well. And if you missed any of the previous messages, you can log on to our website and check out the audio section. Now, the website address is www.independencebaptist.org. And not only will you be able to listen to the prior broadcasts, but you'll also have access to the messages preached during our revival services, and you'll have access to many different books and articles that we've made available. Now, before I take up too much of our time this morning, let me go ahead and turn the broadcast over to Pastor Reynolds as he continues on this topic of Satan's devices.
This morning, we want to take our text from the book of 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 18 as we continue in our study about satanic devices. Notice this place speaks about hindrances. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." This is an amazing statement. Satan hindered the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes I don't really realize all the things that Paul went through in his life. Sometimes I think that Paul is sort of superhuman, that he didn't have the things that we have today. But Paul was not a superhuman. Paul was a human being, and the things of Satan hindered him just like it hinders you and me today. I think it would be wonderful if we could see the work of God grow and prosper, but Satan is doing all he can to stop it and to cause his work to increase. You know, it's an amazing thing that Satan hindered Paul. There is a competition between God and Satan. We, as people, are stuck in the middle between the two. So do not be surprised if Satan hinders you as well. It is only by the grace of God that we are not hindered at all. Remember that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that Satan hindered him. We are never under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so we must be very careful when we say Satan hinders us. Now, someone would say, well, how did Satan hinder Paul? I don't know, but the Bible simply says that he hindered him. But I know that today Satan uses the principle of substitution. Sometimes Satan substitutes man's ideas and methods instead of using God's ideas and methods. I will guarantee you this fact that I have seen down through the years. If you get people to come to church by using anything but the pure Word of God, you will have to continue using the same sort of trickery to get them to continue coming. Jesus Christ did not do this. We need to use the pure Word of God and just teach the Word of God. There's people that want to hear just the Word of God. Just as soon as you stop giving people what they want, they will stop coming. But if you continue to give people the Word of God and the people come because you give them the Word of God, they will continue to come. If you get people to come to church because they hear the preaching of God's Word, they will continue to come as long as God's Word is being preached. You see, Satan is doing everything he can possibly do to hinder God's Word from being preached, from being taught, and from being practiced. Sometimes Satan puts a chip on somebody's shoulder, or give somebody a little malicious gossip to spread. Or maybe he'll just cause two brethren to fall out with one another over some minor thing to hinder the work of the Lord. The devil does not have any qualms at all about stopping the Word of God. But remember this, you and I that are saved people, we are stuck in the middle between this battle that's going on between God and Satan. And we need to be on God's side, we need to be with God, and we need to be declaring God's own holy word. Notice in the book of Luke 11, verse number 52, that some folks hindered other folks from entering the kingdom. The Bible states in the book of Luke 11 and verse number 52, "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering ye hindered." Now Jesus Christ is speaking to people, and he is saying that it is wrong if anybody hinders someone from entering into the Word of God. But notice also a very important point here is that these lawyers hindered people from coming into the kingdom of God. These lawyers did not stop people from coming into the kingdom of God, but the lawyers hindered them from coming. There is no doubt in my mind that Satan is able also to hinder some of the work of the kingdom. But Satan cannot stop the work of the kingdom. I think that the man Lot is a prime example of this fact. But his life is also proof that once a person has been saved, he is always saved, even if that person does not do what God tells them to do. Notice what the scripture says in the book of 2 Peter 2 and verse 7 and 8 concerning Lot. The Bible says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a saved man. When the Bible uses this term, just, in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And delivered just Lot." That does not mean that "and delivered only Lot." No. But the word is righteous, that God delivered righteous Lot, even though Lot was vexed, that is, he was worn down with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Bible says in verse number 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed," that is, he wore down his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. This tells us that Satan is very well able to destroy a person's Christian testimony by all of the things that he is able to make that person do. You think about when Lot traveled with Abraham, and that no doubt he heard the promises of God, and God blessed both Lot and Abraham greatly in that their flocks were multiplied, and they didn't have room to graze all of the flock, and they had to separate and go one place to another. At that point, Abraham said to Lot, "Lot, you just look and you just pick any of the land you want to pick, and that's where you're going to go, and I'll go the other place." And Lot, the Bible says, lifted up his eyes. The Bible said they looked upon all the well-watered plains of Sodom, and that's the land that he chose. Lot never did ask God, but Lot chose the best-looking ground that he could choose. Now that's where he went. The Bible said that he pitched his tent a little bit closer to Sodom and Gomorrah until finally he was living in the city. And finally, he was in the ruling class of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God sent the two angels there, and Lot recognized them. And that night, it was very plain as the Sodomites gathered around and they said, "Come on out, we want to know you." And Lot told them, "No, not these two men. I have two daughters. You take and know them." They didn't want the two daughters. They wanted instead the two men. The next morning, Lot's wife didn't want to leave that city But the two angels, they came and took Lot and his wife, and their two daughters with them. They took them by the hand and led them out of the city. And then God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. You think about all the things that Lot went through. And he never did turn to the Lord. Lot never did do what God wanted him to do. I think it's a terrible calamity. Lot was a saved man, but Lot did not serve the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible said this, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." The Bible says here that the husband's prayer will be hindered if the relationship with his wife is not as it ought to be. The passage here does not say that the husband will be unable to pray. Rather, the Bible states that his prayer will be hindered. It will be as a tree that is cut down and the stump is left. However, soon the stump will begin to put out new shoots of life. Satan can cause two married people not to have fellowship. He can cause their respective prayer lives to be hindered. But Satan cannot stop their prayers from continuing. Satan can ruin Lot's life, but he can never destroy that root. That's what Satan did to the Apostle Peter. Satan did all that he could to destroy Peter's testimony, but he could not. Peter, when he denied the Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. You see? But even then, God used Peter in a great way. It was Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter that preached to Cornelius. It was Peter that wrote the book of 1 and 2 Peter. God used this man in a great and a marvelous way. I'm glad that Satan, although he can hinder, cannot stop the Word of God.
You know, we're thankful, very thankful, that you've been able to join us this morning. And we trust that the messages have been a reminder of the things that Satan uses to try and make us stumble. You know, there are many, many different ways that he does that. And a lot of them may be obvious if you just take a minute to think about it. But in our busy, crazy lives, we often forget the obvious. So consider each one of the points Pastor Reynolds has brought out as a reminder to keep our eyes open and our trust placed in the Lord. Always go to Him when temptation comes, because trusting and following Jesus Christ are the only ways to truly keep from falling. And if you missed any of the previous messages, you can log on to our website and check out the audio section. Now, the website address is www.independencebaptist.org. Now, as we come to a close this morning, we do want to thank you for joining us, but we also want to extend an invitation to you to join us in person. Now, we'll be holding Sunday school classes this morning at 10 a.m. We'll have worship services at 11 a.m., we'll have a prayer meeting at 3:45, and then afternoon worship services will be starting at 4:30. Now, I also don't want to forget to remind you about our midweek Bible study that we have every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And some of you might say, well, I'm not even sure where you guys are at. So for those of you that haven't been to our building before, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Again, that's 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, we will again be meeting at this morning. So if you'd like to join us, we will be there this morning starting at 10 a.m. For the Sunday school classes. Now, our time today is up, but we are very glad you're able to join us. And we look forward to coming together again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as we continue on this very, very important topic of Satan's devices.